Throughout this series on death, we've been following the story of Dan Perotti and his wife Judy. Today, Seth Jovag brings us the final installment, Remembering Dan.
I've always had a kind of holy mackerel idea, feeling about my life. You know, this little kid from, skinny little kid from Kane, Pennsylvania. And here I am with seven children, six grandchildren, living a very comfortable life. It's really rather amazing.
I only knew Dan 6 months, but before he died, I learned that he was a funny, generous guy who adored his wife, Judy. After his funeral was over and the guests were gone, Judy went home to a pile of paperwork, condolence cards, and solitude. I stopped by a couple of weeks later to see how she was doing.
Seth, there's a big part that feels relief. I had 8 months to prepare for this, 8 months to mourn. Dan was slipping away, and I was worried about feeling lonely, and I have not felt lonely. And there are times that, you know, I wish I could share things with him. He had an incredible memory, and somebody asked me something recently, and I thought, oh, too bad Dan's not here because he'd know the answer and I can't remember. You know, those family stories, except for the ones that I recorded, all of that is gone now.
2 years earlier, Judy had recorded Dan talking about his life, about working as a Lutheran minister, about leaving the church, about being a father. They also talked about his death and what would come after it.
How would you like to be remembered by your family and your friends?
Family, I would like them to remember me the way I remember my father. You know, with love and happiness that they knew me. Friends, I hope they remember me for my sense of humor and constancy. I worry about you, by the way, about it.
You want to say more about that?
Yeah, I think that you exhaust yourself and you don't think about that.
When I stopped by, Judy was just getting off the phone with a credit card company, arguing over some of Dan's accounts. Her to-do list was on the kitchen counter, and it was long. But when I asked her how she was doing, she said that she'd slept in that morning, and she was planning vacations that she never could have taken while Dan was sick. She was doing okay, and she was working on remembering Dan when he was in his prime.
I have a lot of energy, but the Dan that I first met, I couldn't keep up with the guy. And that's the Dan that I want to remember. You know, he was playful and whimsical. And you know, when I met him, I don't think the man had a savings account because he never cared about money. And, you know, the interesting thing is that after he died and the children wanted something to remember him by, and I said, well, go through his dresser, take whatever you want. Do you know that all they found were handkerchiefs?
Oh, no.
That's what they each took. They took a handkerchief. The man had nothing, which is so appropriate in so many ways.
That's how Dan was. He wasn't worried about where his stuff would end up after he died. As for where he'd end up, well, Dan kind of thought he'd be everywhere.
I believe that when I'm buried, dead and buried, whatever I am, all this energy and mass and stuff, becomes something else. Just some energy floating around.
So I asked Judy, what does she think happens to us after we die? Where do you think Dan is now?
Oh, this is a question I've struggled with my entire adult life, and I still don't have an answer. I too believe that we can't totally disappear. So there's something there. But I'm still grappling with that. I don't know. Oh, I feel his presence a lot. I mean, just look around the house and he's everywhere. I feel his absence. I feel both his presence and his absence. Yeah.
That was Judy Perotti talking about her late husband, Dan. Seth Jovag brought us their story. And you can hear the whole complete story online at ttbook.org/death. And this music, by the way, was written for us by Freddie Knope. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge. So for the past 5 weeks, you and we have made room in our lives to think and talk about death and dying. I'd like to believe that having these conversations can make a difference, can help bring death out of the shadows so we don't all wind up encountering it alone. The series is coming to an end on the radio, but it too has an afterlife, online. There are interviews on our website that we never got on air. There are amazing photo galleries with work by four outstanding contemporary photographers. They're the stories and photos you shared with us, resource pages, and so much more. If you have found anything of value in these hours, I hope you'll consider sharing them. Invite your friends and family and larger circle to download the podcast or visit the website. It's at ttbook.org/death. And the series on death was produced by all of us here at To the Best of Our Knowledge. Sarah Nix, Doug Gordon, Raymond Tungekar, Charles Monroe Kane, Craig Ely, our amazing technical director, Kirill Owen, our executive producer, Steve Paulson. Our opening theme music is by Steve Mullen from WalkWest Music, and those online photography galleries were curated by FLAC photo editor Andy Adams. I'm Anne Strain Champs. As always, thank you so much for being here with us.
PRI, Public Radio International.